Be proactive to avoid future conflicts. You may know that. You may have had a conflict that you said, man, I need to deal with this. If I don't deal with it, it's going to come back to bite me. Either they're going to call me and I'll be embarrassed because the initiative should be mine, but I just don't want to deal with it. But the idea is to be proactive, anticipate potential conflict, and then things will, if you do that, and then take the right steps, things will get better. So that's what King Abimelech did. And by the way, let's talk about King Abimelech for just a minute. Abimelech is his title, not his name. As you know, Pharaoh, there were lots of pharaohs. There was a pharaoh in charge when Joseph moved to Egypt, but Joseph became his father to Pharaoh. But then 400 years later, there was another pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, didn't know God, and they were called Pharaoh. King Tut was called Pharaoh. They had names. Same with Abimelech. I just want you to know that you'll read about other Abimelechs, but let me say this. As I read about him, more so this time than ever before, I said, I want to make sure I'm not, that I'm on view. They have tape for me. Thank you. I'm colorblind, though. Abimelech is an impressive man. You can tell from the context in Genesis 20 and 21, he believes in God. Remember the reason? He said, why have you done this great sin to us, Abraham? And Abraham said, well, surely I thought there was no God in this area. But just 50, 60 miles away, northeast, we have Melchizedek in Salem, Jerusalem. And Melchizedek was not only a believer, he was a king and a priest. And their territories bordered, or very close to bordering if they didn't touch. And most likely Abimelech knew Melchizedek. But Melchizedek was a believer, and when God came to Abimelech, Matt read it, he came to him in a dream and he said, behold, you are a dead man. And Abimelech didn't go, who's talking? Who are you? He didn't do that. He said, Lord, I did this in the innocence of my heart. But he acted like he already knew who the Lord was. And later on in chapter 20, well, and let me say this, that when he told it, as soon as he woke up early in the morning, that was in a dream, told the servants, and it said they were greatly afraid. This is in Genesis 20, greatly afraid. Why? Because God said, if you don't restore Sarah to Abraham, you'll die. And they believed him, which meant they believed in God. And that belief continued into the next chapter. As you see here in Genesis 21, verse 22, now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now, when there are people, kings, evil kings of Israel sometimes, that don't believe in God, but they're talking with the prophet, and they know the prophet has power, sometimes they go, pray to your God, or your God this, or your God. Abimelech doesn't do that. The statement he makes shows that he believes in Yahweh God. He said, God is with you in all that you do. Now, he saw that earlier, because when he had taken Sarah, who he was told by Abraham and by Sarah that she was just Abraham's sister, when he was told that, God intervened because Sarah was a married woman and said, behold, you're a dead man, for you have taken another man's wife. So he saw back then, whoa, this man is favored by God. This man is protected by God. And as you probably know, God closed all the wounds in Abimelech's household. His wife's, his maids, none could have children. And so I'm just pointing out, this is everything I read about him in these two chapters, chapter 20 and chapter 21, tell me this guy is a man of integrity. I can't find one time when he didn't act in integrity. I can't find one time when he didn't treat Abraham well. Not one time when he offended Abraham. I'm impressed with this Abimelech. So he's being proactive. He sees that God is with Abraham. And you know what? He may not know what Genesis 12:3 says. I think it's verse 3 where God is saying, all the nations will be blessed in you, Abraham, and through your seed. And then God says, the one who blesses you, I will bless. So there will be good things from those that bless Abraham. But he says, the one that curses you, Abraham, God says, I will curse. And Abimelech, with or without knowledge of that verse, probably didn't know about it, he was smart enough to say, you know, it's way better to have Abraham as an ally than an enemy. Abraham is growing in his power, and Abimelech is being proactive and saying, I want to make sure things are good between Abraham, God's man, me and my kingdom. So he's the one that comes forward and says, God is with you in all that you do. He's being proactive right there, which I just think is fantastic. And then if we move on to another principle, and they overlap a little bit. But the first principle is be proactive to avoid conflict. Let's bring that home. I know I'm on the next slide, but let's bring that home. Be proactive. I'm going the wrong way. I have 5 brothers and sisters. I'm blessed to have every one of them. They're incredible people, full of integrity and kindness. No drug addicts, no alcoholics. I'd still love them if they were, but these are incredible people. And back even when Larry and I, no, after you and I were together, Larry, but I wanted him to be my partner, my youngest brother, Bo, an incredible individual, a believer, not a baptized believer, but a believer, full of integrity, smart, fun. Just a great man that I have huge respect for. And I wanted him to be my partner, but my relationship with my brother or any of my siblings is more important than any amount of money, more important than my business. And I said, it is a dangerous thing when you spend a lot of time with one human being because they see your strengths, they see your weaknesses. Sometimes we get tired of each other. And I said, man, I'd love to work with them, but I have so much value for our relationship. I want to take no chances. So I first asked him, are you interested? Because he was very successful with a company called Boise Cascade at that time. And he said, yes, I am. I said, what I told you, our relationship is more important to me, multiples more important to me than my business is. I want to make sure that when issues come up, we have a way to solve them. So I said, let's project into the future. Let's be proactive and think about anything that could come up and every agreement we make and any potential, let's have a way to solve it before it ever comes up, with intermediaries or maybe the elders of the church or whatever. But we wrote down everything we could think of so that our friendship would not be hurt. One day, Bo says to me after a few years, Mike, you said that if I landed the Boeing account that to sell ladders, he said, you said I'd get this kind of commission. I said, no, Bo. I said, this amount here. Well, guess what? We had a notebook with pages of documentation. So I said, hey, we got them, eh? Let's load them in. Oh, you're right, Bo. I did say that. And another time, either I approached him or he approached me, and this and such, and bo you, and oh no, he said. And I said, well, let's look it up. The second time, I was right. But in both cases, since we had determined ahead of time what we would do in certain situations, our love, respect, goodwill for each other continued on. And we need to do that if you're going to get married. If you're going to get married, you need to say, well, let's discuss, you know, are we of the same religion? Do we have the same moral values? How do you feel about divorce? How do you feel about God and the Bible? And proactive. With a new employee, I tell them, I say, you know, you're going to make mistakes. I don't want you to, but I make them too. You're going to make mistakes, and here's what I ask of you. Just be honest. I know you'll make them. I may make more, but just tell me. Let's fix the problem when it arises. I tell them that ahead of time. When my first job after I got married was selling Little Giant ladders. And after 2 weeks, I got to fly out to Utah for the national convention, which is about 50 of us. It wasn't that many. And I'm sitting with the owner. He took us all one by one. And I said, Hal, I just want you to know something about me to make sure this is going to work with your company. I have priorities, of course. Everybody does. And I said, my priorities are God first. My family is second. And then work. I'll devote myself to doing you well, but my work is third. Is that okay? It was so okay that he announced that. He didn't use my name when I was glad, but he announced that to the entire 50 people that were there for the national convention. A young man said this to me, I want you to all be like that. They tested me. Larry and I both worked at the Monroe Fair before. It's long, grueling hours. And they said, unless you are there on Sunday morning when it opens, we'll take it from you, but we'll take all your shows from you, which is where we made a lot of money. And I already covered this base. I said, well, take it. Take them all. They didn't, but they could have. But I was proactive and let them know from the beginning where I stood. So you just think all of your relationships. There may be some now that you're entering into that you could do something. You know, we haven't covered a few important bases. But that's a very key principle, to anticipate ahead of time the conflicts, because they will be there if you spend much time with another person. So number two now, if I can go the right direction here, is deal honestly with others. Duh. Look, I know that every single one of you believe that already. Deal honestly with others. Let's read what they say between the two. Abimelech is still speaking to Abraham, and he says, now therefore, swear to me here by God, not your God, swear to me here by God, the one that Abimelech believes in, that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown to you, Abraham, you shall show to me and to the land in which you have sojourned. Abraham said, I swear it. They made an oath, a covenant, an agreement right here. But it's unusual. If you bought a house, a car, something on any kind of loan payment, you've signed lots of covenants, lots of legal agreements. And I've never had one that said, and you have to tell the truth. You know, you deal with my company honestly. And I've never said that in my covenants or contracts that I've given to other people. And by the way, you have to tell the truth. I tell that to my employees before I hire them. You know what's the most important thing to me of all? Of all the attributes you bring to this company, not being on time. That's good. Not working hard, not being smart, not learning quickly. Above all, I want a person that has integrity, because if a person has integrity, will improve continually. They will make mistakes, but they'll get better at it because that's the desire of their heart. But I want integrity. But contracts, I never say, why would Abimelech? And you know why, but why would Abimelech? Why would he say, swear to me that you will not deal falsely with me? Because Abraham had dealt falsely with him. And I mentioned already, but talk about great harm. We're in Genesis 20. And number one, how would you feel, any one of you feel, if God comes to you in the dreams and says, you're a dead man, you're a dead woman. How would you feel if the maker of the universe says, you're toast? So just the emotional shock was traumatic, as it should have been. But then, in verse 15 of Genesis 20, Abimelech said, behold, to Abraham, after Abraham deceives him, he says, here's lots of animals. Here's male and female servants that are your slaves, that are yours now, Abraham. And look at 15. He's not like Pharaoh. When Abraham lied to Pharaoh and Pharaoh restored Sarah and gave Abraham riches and this kind of thing, Pharaoh says, now go. Not only did he tell Abraham to go, but he escorted, this is in Genesis 12, Pharaoh had Abraham escorted by Pharaoh's men. Get out of here, you liar. He doesn't call him that, but it's there. So what does Abimelech do? Verse 15, after he gives him these goods and money to Sarah, Abimelech says, behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please. Live anywhere you want, Abraham. Wow. Talk about turning the other cheek. I'm just impressed the more I read about King Abimelech. And then we'll drop down to 17. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid so that they bore children, for God had closed all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. That's why he said, swear to me and do not deal with me falsely. Have you ever had someone, this is classy, doesn't call him names. He says, God is with you in everything you do. I want a covenant with you. I want you to swear to me that you'll treat me kindly the way I treated you, Abraham. That's fair. And Abraham is a fair man. Swear to me, Abraham. And Abraham said, I swear. So Abimelech, number one, was proactive to avoid future conflicts. Number two, he's asking Abraham to deal honestly with others. And listen, again, when I say something up to here, I know that sometimes everybody will know the principle, but maybe not somebody online that's watching. And even if you know the principle, how easy is it to tell the truth all the time? Pooh! Abraham, the friend of God, lies significantly twice in Genesis 12 and Genesis 20. His son Isaac does the same thing. He lies to a king because Rebekah, his wife, is beautiful. He says, tell him you're my sister. So Isaac does it as well. Then his son Jacob lies to his father, lies to his brother, to the point that he stole the birthright, not the birthright, the blessing from Esau, and Esau was going to kill him. When we don't deal honestly, and most of us do most of the time, but Satan is always whispering, you need to twist the truth a little bit this time. For whatever the reason, he whispers that. When we do that, especially if there's some kind of hint that, you know, maybe this isn't true, it really hurts relationships. And God's great men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, all of them, we have recorded instances of where they deceived someone intentionally, unnecessarily. Abraham did it to save his life. Would he have died if he hadn't lied? No, because God already told him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in your seed, Abraham, before he ever ran into Pharaoh or Abimelech, and it would be impossible for the nations of the earth to be blessed by Abraham's seed when he hadn't had any seed yet. He was guaranteed to survive and have offspring. Guaranteed. There's that temptation. You know, I was counseling with a young man in his 30s. Their marriage wasn't doing well. He says, you know, he said, I'm a habitual liar. This Christian man. He said, I lie to my wife. I'm a habitual liar. I said, well, I'm glad that you told me this. Do you know the damage that lies do? You know, specifically, do you know what they do? Number one, you tell the person you lie to that you're not worthy of knowing the truth. I don't respect you. I'm willing to dishonor you. I'm willing to try to get you to believe something that is not true. What kind of a relationship is that? So you know this. But it's in Genesis 21. It's a principle we see there, and I thought we should talk about it at least quickly. Be open about problems. Check this out. After Abimelech does this, Abraham volunteers some information. He says, but Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water, which the servants of Abimelech had seized. So digging a well is very difficult, and you don't always succeed. And in the Middle East, water is life. And so Abimelech's servants had seized the well. Why hadn't? And let's look at the next verse. Look at verse 26. Abimelech said, I do not know who's done this thing. You did not tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. So Abraham hadn't told Abimelech. How come? I'm thinking it's because he's ashamed. He caused Abimelech great harm. What is a well? I mean, I want my well back. It's important. But man, I've not treated Abimelech well and harmed him. Or maybe he's just a person like me that hates conflict. I hate conflict. And I have a tendency to ignore it and hope it'll go away, and it rarely does. When something's significant and we ignore it, it can fester. There's tension in the relationship. You can feel it even if you don't know what it's about, and it does more harm than good. So finally, Abraham opened up to Abimelech, hey, your servant stole my well. And Abimelech is defensive because he didn't know about it. And he says, hey, I'm lost, but it doesn't matter. I'm going the wrong way. That's why I'm lost. I didn't know about it, Abraham. Abraham took the animals. He gives them to Abimelech. He holds 7 ewe lambs as a side. Abimelech says, what are these 7 on the side for? And Abraham says this. You shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand so there'll be maybe a witness to me that I have dug this well. Therefore, he called that place Beersheba, which I believe is the number 7 something, because there the two of them took an oath. But he names it. He gives it a special name as a memorial to their agreement. Therefore, don't assume anything about what others know. Have you ever had, Abraham assumed that Abimelech knew about the problem. Have you ever had someone give you the cold shoulder, shun you, treat you differently than they used to treat you with warmth, and you didn't know why? A spouse, a Christian, a relative, because it happens a lot. I can think of a whole bunch of times in my mind where, wow, what's going on? Is there a problem? No, nothing's wrong. Don't assume anything about what other people know. That you heard me talking to Joe and I said such and such. Well, I wasn't listening to your conversation. I told you the other day. Well, what was I doing? Well, you were on the computer typing a letter. And don't assume anything about what other people know. When we do, we get into trouble because our assumptions are often wrong. And you've probably had people make assumptions about you that just weren't right. So you've got these four principles. I'm going to have to close her down. I'm going to have to flip this around. Okay. We've got four principles. We'll talk about them in a minute. I want to show you one more thing. Look at, after their agreement, the last verse right here in Genesis 21 on my screen. It says, and Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines. That's where he was. Abimelech was king of Gerar. Abraham sojourned there for many days. Was that like 60 days or 120? I didn't know. And if you don't like math, you can turn me off for a moment, but I figured it out. Many days meant Abraham was there between 12 to 16 years. He moved to Gerar, the land of Abimelech, before Isaac was weaned. And the Jews, I read, usually wean their children around 3 years old. So he moved there when Isaac was three. He was still living there when he took Isaac to be sacrificed. You remember the story, Genesis 22, that's coming up. Took him there to be sacrificed. How old was he then? Well, he was called a lad, which means most likely he wasn't a man. He wasn't 20 yet, but the last part of the journey, Abraham laid all the wood of the burnt offering on Isaac. He had to carry all this wood some distance. So he certainly wasn't a 10 or 12-year-old boy in my mind. I'm thinking, so my only point is this. Abraham stayed in that area for 12 to 16 years approximately. The covenant between Abraham and Abimelech succeeded. Happy ending. It worked. So our four principles: be proactive to avoid future conflicts, deal honestly with others, be open about problems, don't assume what others know about anything, and pray that the other person will be heart when you're proactive. God will be with their heart when you're proactive. When you talk to them in an honoring way, let God do his part. There are no guarantees, brothers and sisters, in case you're a new Christian. You can do all these things. Be at peace with all men as much as it is within you, Romans 12. No guarantees. But one thing's for sure, you'll have a lot more success than if you avoid these four principles to building better relationships. So I thank you so much for your attention. If you ever forget what these principles are, it's pretty cool. All I have to do is go back to Genesis 21 and how did Abimelech and Abraham interact? And you'll see those four right there. And they can enhance our lives. Some of you are experts at it already. We can all be better. May God bless us as we work with people in the church, in our families, and in the world. Thank you so much. At this time, if you have a spiritual need, if you'd like to become a Christian or need the prayers of the saints, let's stand and sing the song of invitation. You may come forward as we do.